Good morning. Pastor Dan and Gene are enjoying some vacation time away, so I get to share with you. We're going to continue the study of 1 Corinthians. So if you get your Bible or your app, as you're turning there, let me just pray for us quickly. Father, I'm reminded it's all about you. It's your Holy Spirit, and may you be glorified as we look into your word together. May we be doers of your word after this and not hearers only. In Jesus' name. So a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Dan preached about spiritual gifts from chapter 12. That's what the Holy Spirit gives to the church body for the edification or the building up of the church body. Okay, spiritual gifts. He places people together, places us together here in the body known as Dalton Hill. And sometimes, and we're going to see in the Corinthian church, certain gifts can be elevated in prominence or priority or whatever, and other gifts, it's not really that big a deal. Or, you know, I have the gift of X, whatever that is, and you don't. And so, sorry for you. You know, I mean, that's the kind of worldly attitude that can have. So, anyway, he gave us a couple of examples. He said, like a sports team, a championship-winning sports team, may have a star player, but it takes the whole team working together, right? It's not just about one person having a particularly strong gifting. So, is anybody's gift more important or less important? No. They're different gifts, but it's all about building up the body of Christ, right? Okay, that's a quick review of 12. So, if you got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul is going through all the problems the Corinthian church has, and there are many. And so it's interesting that we find this beautiful chapter sort of sandwiched between his teaching on spiritual gifts, and when Pastor Dan gets back, he'll carry on with chapter 14. But I get the fun chapter. What do you think about 1 Corinthians 13, those of you that are familiar with it? It's called the
Love.
The Love chapter. Isn't it fun? I love it, Marilyn. You know, your song talks about God's love, and it's like, isn't that neat? We just have fun. I always love how the Holy Spirit brings things together. We didn't talk about that, plan that. She really didn't know what I was going to be sharing today. So it's really cool. All right. So we're going to back up just a hair, and let's look at the very last verse of chapter 12. The last verse of chapter 12, Paul ends with, "And I will show you a still more excellent way." And the most excellent way is the way of love. And so he's now going to talk about that. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am
nothing.
And if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain
nothing.
Wow. What we got here is a whole lot of nothing. So we'll call today's title, A Whole Lot of Nothing. If I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, there may be one who's a great orator, gifted with using words to paint mental images that move our thoughts and our emotions, for those of us that are listening to the order, or I may be one who speaks in unintelligible tongues of angels, sometimes known as a private prayer language, but without love is just noise. Hit it, Jerry. Now, a symbol by itself, it's just noise, right? Hit it again. Hit it again. If that's all people hear over and over, that's not particularly melodic, right? And yet, in concert with the rest of the drum set and the piano, it's very pleasant. And that's a pretty good picture. If we can speak great things, but there's no love, might as well just be a symbol by itself. It's not really a melody, you know, there's not a refrain, there's nothing that we can, you know, really invest in, right? Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Good job.
I thought, I appreciated Jerry's willingness to do that. It's always good to have a little visual, a little audible.
If Bonnie would let you sit with her today or something.
That was hard to do.
My fault. All right. So, on the mission field, and anybody who's been involved in trying to learn a foreign language can probably identify with that. But on the mission field, I prayed for the gift of tongues. I mean, I know, like, oh Lord, you know, I need to be able to speak the language of the national people that I want to minister to. And so I need the gift of tongues. Well, I don't know that I ever got it in any dramatic fashion. I think most of the time it was more by perseverance and practice, kind of hard work. And I think God does that, especially for me. He's like, oh, you're not going to get away with this easily. It's going to take some effort. But I would have loved it. Let's go on. Verse 2. And if I have prophetic powers, and I understand all mysteries, and I have all knowledge. You know, if God has given me special insight, perfect insight, you know, I know exactly what His will and His purpose and His plan is. Which we don't. The Holy Spirit does. And I can remove, if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains. Wow, you know, Jesus just said if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could do what? You could move it. But man, if I had faith way above that, I could just remove the whole thing. I'd, you know, just say bye and the mountain would be gone. I mean, that's the picture He's drawing here. I mean, wouldn't that be cool? If I understood everything God was up to, if He gave me this special insight, this special knowledge, this great discernment, all of that kind of stuff, wouldn't that be awesome? How easy would it be for me to go, look at me. Look at this. Look at what I have. Oh, God didn't give that to you? Sorry for you. I mean, wouldn't that be, I mean, that would be sort of our natural prideful reaction, wouldn't it? And so Paul is, he's trying to use this illustration to get us to really grasp a hold of this. If I had all of this great stuff, what's he say? I might be tempted to think, I'm really something. But actually, I am nothing. Wow. Wouldn't you like to know what God's up to perfectly? Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't you like to have faith? You could say, hey, mountain, get up, move. Anybody else? Man, I'm all over that. I'd love it. The problem is I'd get prideful. So God doesn't do this. He's pretty wise in that regard, isn't he? So it reminds me of another time where Jesus was talking. He said in John 15, verse 5, you have that memorized, I'm the vine, you're the branch. Don't get it wrong. You're not the vine. I'm the vine. And you as the branch, as long as you stay connected in me, then I can flow through you. And that's really what it's all about. It's not my own. I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to give it my best shot. But it's realizing humbly, I can't do it. And I was reading, one guy said, that's a great paradox. We are 100% reliant on God, and yet we are 100% responsible to let Him flow through us. Those of you mathematicians, you'd quickly figure out that's 200%. That doesn't work, right? And that's why he says it's a great paradox. We're completely dependent on God. We can't do this love thing. We can't. I don't know about you. I try occasionally. Then I get pretty discouraged. And then I want to just say, I can't do this Christian life. Why? You know, who am I kidding? But the problem is I'm trying to do it in my own strength. I can't. You can't either. Anybody say amen to that? Okay, all right. I just want to make sure I'm not the only one. Okay. Verse 3. If I give away all I have, give it all. Take everything. Shirt off my back. But I have not love, what do I gain? Nothing. Not a little. Not, attaboy, Glenn. Good job. So glad you did that. Nothing. I mean, you can get a hold of that. It's worth nothing. Pretty amazing. It's a whole lot of nothing, right? Think about Mark 10, verse 17. There's a story of a rich young man or rich young ruler, depending on your translation, doesn't matter. The point is the same. He asks a fabulous question that we really all must ask. He says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what do I have to do to be okay to God? I mean, it is the question. Really, it's a central question. It's a great question. And so Jesus, in his wisdom, says, here are some commandments. And he doesn't start with the first of the Ten Commandments that have to do with our relationship with God. He starts with the relationship with other people. And so he says, this is, you know, do these kinds of things. Murder, adultery, I don't remember exactly what all. You can read it for yourself, Mark 10:17. And the young man says, well, hey, got those covered. Look at me. I'm doing okay. Verse 21 is key. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Familiar with that passage? Paul has just said, I can give it all away, but I do it without love. It means nothing. Okay, it's not a contradiction to what Jesus is saying, because Jesus is saying, you have an idol problem. You are worshiping the things that you have, and they are ahead of that relationship with me. So what you've got to do is get rid of that idol, give it away, get rid of it, and then come follow me. Okay? So there's two things that Jesus is telling the guy. Let's look at verse 3, the second part of that. And if I give up my body to be burned, and I have not love, I gain
nothing.
We got a whole lot of nothing. To make the ultimate sacrifice of my body, even to death, martyrdom, can still be totally unprofitable. Apparently, from what I've read, some of the pagans would set themselves on fire to show their devotion to their God. Wow. If you know anything about the Old Testament, God never says, especially sacrificing your children to the fire. And I see a precious one. You know, I mean, it's just, I can't fathom that. My lovely little granddaughter. So, all of these great and sacrificial actions that I can do for God, I'm going to do this for God. And by the way, I want to impress you while I'm doing these things. Maybe that's the way that we have to feel like we're raising our own value, my own worth. But if I end up prideful and looking down on others because you don't have the same spiritual gift that I do, and I'm doing all this great stuff for God, the value is nothing. Got it? Okay. And now, a still more excellent way. So, verses 4 to 7. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Anybody ever heard this? Have you heard the challenge? Take love out of this particular passage and put your name in. For example, Glenn is patient. Glenn is kind. Glenn is not rude. You ever done that? Oh, give you a few seconds. You got your Bible open. Everywhere it says love, I want you in your mind, you don't have to do this out loud, in your mind, put your name in there. Everybody understand the assignment? Okay. All right, I'm going to let you finish the assignment at home. But you get the picture, right? Anybody fall short? Everybody falls short, I hope, right? Because that's God's kind of love. It's not up. I can't manufacture that. I just can't. With any consistency, there's no way. You know, I think these passages are helpful to bring us back to that. We are absolutely 100% dependent on God. So we've got to nurture that relationship. We've got to abide in that vine because we're just the branch out here. Can't do anything. I think I've shared before, but I get the best glimpse into my heart driving down 169. during Russia. Anybody been there? Okay. So, for me, when that guy comes flying by me, I mean, I'm trying to do the speed limiter, maybe more than, you know, one or two over, at the most, you know, I'm trying. And they come flying by, and then they want to swing in front of me and about take my bumper off. My first reaction is not, Glenn is patient.
Glenn is kind.
Glenn is kind. You get what I'm saying? So, I mean, I hope really, for you, I hope you find that place in life where God sort of gives you that little beep. Oh boy, okay. And so my challenge, that my fleshly reaction, and all of our fleshly reactions is, where's the policeman? I want him to get a ticket. You know, that's my flesh. So in my own strength, can I say, Lord, bless this person? And yet that's the challenge, isn't it? And so this is where there's another passage of scripture in it. And I'm sorry, we don't have time or all. But to take every thought captive. Because that initial thought needs to be taken captive. Because it is not glorifying to the Lord. And it is by far. Yeah. And so that's my challenge. As I'm driving down 169 on the way to work or coming home. You know. It's like, okay, God. You know. And I mean, I'll be praying about this. And I'll be working through this in my own mind. Somebody does something. And my first reaction is like, I blew it again. And so, anyway, I share that with you. We can't manufacture God's love. We can't. So we got to realize we're 100% dependent on it, but we are also 100% responsible to let His love flow through us. We don't get out of that just because, oh, we're human, sorry. Be nice, but no, we have a responsibility. Verse 8, love never ends. Some translations note, love never fails. Okay. So love is eternal. As for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It'll die off. Isn't that amazing? The time when we see Christ face to face, we don't need prophecies. We don't need tongues. We're going to see Jesus. Pretty cool. Verse 9. And 10, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. You know, we want to be biblically accurate. And as I, you know, come, whenever I fill in for Dan, that's always my prayer. Lord, I want to be sure that I say what you want to say and not, you know, spin it or in any way. In such a way that we can grasp it, throwing stuff around, and then what's that? You know, what's that response? That, you know, how do I do this? How do I live that out? So, how did Jesus say that people would know that we were His disciples? By our love, not by our correct doctrine, not by running down any other Christian group out there who doesn't agree with us on certain points, right? That's not it. They're going to have to answer to Christ as we're going to have to answer for Christ. On the mission field, it was much easier because you figured out that, hey, even though you're sent by a different group, you know, a different denomination or whatever, we're on the same team. And, you know, and sadly here, Satan's been pretty effective, I think, at, you know, causing some, you know, we're not, you know, don't believe like you, so you guys, we'll be busy looking down on you and all that. And so that's not it. It's how can we have God's love flow through us? Not ours, it's His, but He wants to flow through us, right? John 13:34-35, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? With His life. The ultimate sacrifice, right? I mean, love is not love until it's an action that's demonstrated, right? I can say I love you, but let's see what now. Do your actions line up? Are you patient? Are you kind? You know, not rude, not boastful. Okay? verse 11. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. So like a child, our current understanding of prophecy and of knowledge is limited. Verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now, keep in mind, the metaphor of the mirror is not like a mirror you and I think about that has a beautiful piece of reflective material behind glass. The early mirrors in those days would have been like just a polished piece of metal. So, I mean, you get some reflection. It'd be like, you know, doing your hair on the side of, I think that's Michelle's car. Yeah, and there is some reflection, but it's not. So, anyway, just keep that in mind. So, we see dimly as in a mirror, but we're going to see Jesus face to face. Verse 13. So now faith, hope, and love abide these three. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Faith is important. Hope is important. But love is the greatest. Because faith and hope flow out of God's love. The demonstration of God's love. 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Why? Since love covers a multitude of sins. Anybody need their sin covered? Okay, me too. All right. So, Alan Carr relates this story. There was a man who had only an eighth grade education. But this man really wanted to be a soul winner. He wanted to tell people about Jesus. God had laid a brilliant attorney on his heart. So in obedience to the Lord, he goes, talks to the lawyer about Jesus. But no sooner had he begun than the attorney used his legal training and his brilliant mind to turn the man inside out. So a highly trained professional attorney, guy with eighth grade education. The man finally apologized for coming, for taking the attorney's time. He left with tears in his eyes as he said to the lawyer, I just want you to know that I came because I love you. Dejected, rejected, he went home to his wife and he said, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk to anybody the whole rest of the day. I just want to go to my room. I want to be left alone. I feel like I'm a failure. About an hour, there it is. All right, got to wind it down. About an hour later, the lawyer came, knocked on the man's door. He told the man's wife that he'd like to see her husband, and she said, I'm sorry, he's not seeing anybody. He said, oh, I think he'll see me. Just tell him who I am. So the husband did speak with the attorney, brought him into the room, and he said, why have you come? Have you come to make fun of me? You come to argue with me again? The lawyer said, no, I haven't come to argue. Come to ask you to tell me how to be saved. The man replied, I don't understand. What changed? Every time that I tried to tell you about Jesus, you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer. The lawyer said, yes, I did. But you came up with an argument that I couldn't answer. The uneducated man looked at him and said, what was that? Lawyer replied, when you looked at me and told me you loved me, I couldn't argue with that. Anybody know John 3:16? You can share the gospel with John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave his only son, that whoever, nobody is excluded, believes in him would have eternal life, right? Okay. One of my favorite New Testament verses is Romans 5:8. But God shows or demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God doesn't say, get your act together and then talk to me.
Praise God.
Praise God, he doesn't.
Yeah.
I wish I had my act together all the time, but I want to walk with him. I want for him to flow through me. I want for his love to abide in me and show up. So that's why I say, I hope you have your little heart check like I do driving down 169 or whatever it is. So, in our own effort, we cannot love like God. It's impossible. So, I hope you made the decision to repent, receive God's love and forgiveness that's offered through Jesus Christ, who died for our sin, my sin, your sin, anyone who will believe. If not, please visit with me after we're done, or one of the teachers or leaders in the church, whoever. But realize, it's all about what he did. So, take every thought captive. When that reaction is, okay, God, how can I love? Even though I'm being abused. I mean, Jesus is the perfect illustration of this on the cross, right? I mean, I can't imagine what he went through. The beating, the mocking, all that kind of stuff. And he never, ever retaliated, even though he had the right to. So, may that be our response. I hope that's a new look or a fresh look at 1 Corinthians 13 in love. And so as I prayed, let us be not just hearers, but
doers
of the word today. Thank you.